This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this week, beginning with Broadway Is My Beat. We'll hear the Ernie Caldwell murder case from April 7th, 1950. After that, it's yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Lucky Costa Matter, his episode from August 15th, 1951.
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, where the torrent of night races through the neon chasm, and you're caught up in it and whirled and crushed against the shrieking and the shadows. Then you wake, and the night is gone. There's nothing, only the debris of night and the stain of its rage. You count yourself lucky, because you think you're one of the few who got away. Then you take a good look, and you know you didn't make it. It's Broadway, My Beat. Sergeant Pataglia had told me an hour ago she was waiting. Then a little later, he came in and told me again. Then I knew I couldn't put it off any longer. The fact of her presence had been whispering to me from the reports I pretended had to be filled out, from the desk drawers that needed cleaning and had been cleaned only yesterday. I couldn't put it off any longer, so I told Pataglia to show her in.
You can go in now, Mrs. Webster.
Thank you.
Here, Mrs. Webster, I will get you a chair. Sit down, Mrs. Webster. Go on, sit down. It is perfectly all right to sit down.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tartaglia. Sergeant Tartaglia.
That's right, Mrs. Webster. Maybe you can do something, huh, Danny?
Hey, shut the door, Tartaglia, and don't put any calls through for a while, huh?
All right, then.
Thank you for letting me talk to you, Mr. Clover.
It's all right.
Forgive me for the way I look. I came over in my lunch hour, and this snoot... It's regulation for the girls who work on the drill press, so our hair won't get caught. I didn't have time to...
Oh, you look fine, Mrs. Webster. Fine.
You know why I'm here, don't you, Mr. Clover? That's why you didn't want to see me right off.
There's nothing we can do. Your husband confessed to the murder.
I know Jimmy didn't do it, Mr. Clover. I don't know any other way to say it, any other way to convince you. I just know Jimmy couldn't kill a man. Not Jimmy.
Then why did he confess? Your husband seems a normal, healthy boy with a good brain. Why would he confess to a killing he didn't do?
I don't know. Maybe because he thinks someone else did it. Someone...
You, maybe?
Jimmy loves me. He'd do a thing like that for someone he loved. Just talk to him, Mr. Clover. That's all I ask. You'll see then what kind of a boy he is. You'll see.
When is it going to be, Miss Webster?
The baby? In August. We want a little girl, I think.
You're still working?
Oh, yes. The Fairless Vacuum Cleaner Company is very nice to me. To all of us. They said I could keep working for as long as I thought it was all right.
Well, then you take care of yourself, Miss Webster.
It doesn't matter about me. It's Jimmy. Will you talk to him, Mr. Clover?
I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I made you overstay your lunch hour. Just... tell them to call me. I'll explain it to them.
Will you talk to Jimmy?
All right, Mrs. Webster. I'll talk to him.
So... you're not wearing the blue serge. Who are you?
Danny Clover.
You a padre? I didn't ask for no padre. It's too early, anyhow. It goes trial, the judge looking sad, shaving my hair. You'll get your turn.
I'm a policeman.
Oh. So?
I just talked to your wife, Jimmy.
What for? What did you have to talk to her for? Talk to me. I'm right here in cell 42, tier 3. Day and night, 24 hours. So you'll do it. Talk to me and leave her alone. Leave Peggy alone. What do you want with her anyhow? What'll she tell you that I won't? That I killed Ernie Caldwell? I killed him. That's all you need to know.
Jimmy.
Yeah? Yeah, what do you want?
You killed Caldwell, you're sure.
How can a man not be sure of shooting somebody? Go ahead, you know. Go ahead, you tell me. How can a man kill a guy up close and not know about it?
If he were drunk?
No, not me. Not drunk.
What did you do with the gun you killed Ernie with?
I killed him. I shot him. I threw the gun away.
Where?
In a trash can, a sewer. I don't remember. I was upset. I can't remember a thing after I pulled the trigger.
Why did you kill him?
You know Ernie Caldwell. Why ask me?
Yeah, I know Ernie Caldwell. I know about the man he came here with, Travis Faulkner, deputy sheriff from Norcross County. That's 1,000 miles from here, Jimmy.
That's how far I ran, but they caught me.
Running from Ernie and Faulkner?
Yeah. I stole a drum of gasoline once, Clover. They put me to building county roads. I couldn't see doing that. I slugged a guard and ran 1,000 miles.
To New York. You did pretty well in New York, Jimmy. Job, a fine wife.
Leave her out, huh?
Peggy knew all about what happened in Norcross County. Maybe she killed Caldwell. Maybe you know that. Maybe that's why you're saying
oh,
you're...
Jay, I'll tell you!
Right, take it easy. Yeah. That's better.
Listen to me. Listen to me, Clover. I killed Ernie Caldwell. I shot him and dragged his body into an alley. I saw him standing there and I shot him dead.
If the boy had had a brass band or a rooftop, he couldn't have announced it with more clarity, more defiance. He had motive, all right. A man had chased him across miles, across time. This man could grind out, destroy the life the boy had built for himself, for his wife, for his coming child. And for this, the boy shot him dead. There was motive. And there was confession. And I stayed with it and didn't stop to ask myself why. The Department of Records gave me the hotel address of Travis Faulkner, deputy sheriff, Norcross County. I called him, told him I wanted to talk to him. Sheriff Faulkner told me there was a lot of New York left for him to see. If I wanted to talk to him, I'd have to meet him at the Penny Arcade on 56th Street.
Just a minute, Mr. Clover. I'll be right with you. Hot diggity ziggity dog. It's too bad you can't share this with me, Mrs. Clover, because I ain't gonna let you.
Turkish delight, a knight in a harem. Think you can deny yourself for a little while, Faulkner, just long enough to talk to me?
Well, I'll tell you. My mouth's been watering to get at those guns over there. Why don't you talk to me while I do a little shooting? What do you want to talk to a country sheriff about, Lieutenant?
Jimmy Webster. Let's talk about him.
Just saying his name leaves a dirty taste in my mouth, Lieutenant. What are you New York police waiting for? Why don't you execute him? Right now. Electric chair, that's how you go about it out here, isn't it?
That's right, Sheriff.
That's too good for him. Quick like that. You know what I could get down on my knees and beg you for, Mr. Clover?
No, I don't.
Just leave me alone in a cell with him. Just for a little while. Hey, this looks like a good little cheap gun. I'll treat you, Lieutenant, if you'd care to shoot with me.
I'm sorry, mister. I was going to use that gun.
Were you now? Were you really going to do that, boy?
Leave him alone, Faulkner. I said leave him alone. It's all right, son. You can use this gun.
Yeah, it's all right. But you won't get in my way, will you, boy?
No. Here, take the gun. I don't want it. I changed my mind.
It's all right. Take it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, mister, but I changed my mind.
We do a lot of things different here, Faulkner. Get used to it.
You expect me to get used to that? I couldn't. No more than I could get used to the idea that my buddy was murdered right here in your fair city.
Ernie Caldwell?
Ernie was the best friend a man ever had. We were close, Ernie and me. And that pig killed him just because Ernie was doing his duty.
Maybe he didn't kill Ernie.
You not only do things different, you think different, don't you, Lieutenant? Boy's wife been crying on you?
When you got to New York, you and Caldwell, you didn't try to take Webster right away. Your signed statement says you were here almost a day and a night before you tried to take him. Why was that?
I'll tell you only because you asked me polite, Lieutenant. Ernie and me, we had an old acquaintance to look up. Just to talk over old times. Oh, gone, this shooting's gonna rob me of my small change. Got 5 pennies for a nickel, Lieutenant.
I poured 5 bright and shining coppers into his hand, toil-worn with pulling slot machine levers. I said no when he offered me the nickel. He said, well, now, thank you. I said goodbye. It was 3:30 when I left the arcade. What I had was nothing. What I had was nothing at all. The thought turned into those words all the way uptown, through Manhattan, under the river, and into Brooklyn. That's what I had to tell Peggy Webster. I had nothing at all. At the gate of the Fairless Vacuum Cleaner Company, the guard and I exchanged badge numbers, and he said, Mrs. Webster's bench is right down there. Peggy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Clover. Wait, will you wait just a minute?
Sure.
Now, oh, it was wonderful of you to come up here, Mr. Clover. I'm grateful. You know I'm grateful. Oh,
of course. Peggy.
Yes? What is it, Mr. Clover? What? Oh, nothing.
Peggy, I...
But you'll keep trying, won't you? Now that you know that Jimmy didn't commit that murder, I'm sure...
Peggy.
Yes?
You know that even if Jimmy is not guilty of this murder, he's still wanted in another state. He's an escaped convict. One way or another, we're going to have to extradite him.
I know that. I'll wait for him, Mr. Clover.
I'll keep trying to...
I know you will. Look. Look at this, Mr. Clover.
Yeah? Pretty. Real pretty.
I bet you don't even know what it is.
No, I don't. But it's pretty.
It's a rubber pad for a crib, Mr. Clover. Here, these boxes by my bench. They gave me a shower during the afternoon break.
Huh?
Blankets, bibs, diapers, nighties, and this is strange.
What is?
This package. The messenger brought it a little while ago. The guard passed it through because he knew about the shower. Here, I'll show you.
Ah, pillowcase.
Hand embroidered. It's lovely.
But what's strange about it?
The card that came with it. From... Here it is. From Sophie Driscoll, Etna Hotel.
And?
Don't you see? I don't know any Sophie Driscoll. I thought she was a girl working here at the shop. I checked and she isn't. I just don't know anyone by that name. Oh, that's quitting time, Mr. Clover.
Yeah, I'll take you home, Peggy. And Peggy.
Yes?
I'll take that card.
Hotel gives you a greeting. Here, sign the alias here and tell me whether it's going to be with or without.
Huh?
With or without a bath, Buster.
Sophie Driscoll.
Sorry, but Come to think of it, I'm not sorry at all, just Buster.
Read this.
You gotta wait if you want me to do that. I gotta find my glasses, and that's tough to do without my glasses.
Yeah, but the shape of it spells badge, and the 6 hazy spots on it spell police.
It does, huh? What about Sophie Driscoll?
What about her?
Sleeping it off, Buster, so she can wake up and get herself another bonded reason for sleeping it off.
Show me.
Sure. A hop, skip, and a jump down the hall.
Let's walk.
Sure. Sophie, wanted criminal or something goose-pimply like that? Oh, top drawer confidential, huh? Well, here's her room. On the bed. Soph! Hey, Sophie! Really out, wouldn't you say so, Buster?
Something like that. Miss Driscoll. Hey, Miss Driscoll, wake up. Wake up.
Hey, on her hands, running down. No, that's blood. That's blood, ain't it, Buster? Sophie! Hey, Sophie!
Save it. She won't answer. I had a question to ask her, but she won't answer.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
One thing about Broadway, if you've got talent, if you've got a twist that'll lift you out of the mediocre, Broadway will pat you lovingly on the head and thank you for the diversion. The opportunities are infinite. You can spell mop with two P's, or confess to a murder, or be found stabbed to death on a narrow bed in a small room in a dismal hotel. My part of it was trying to make the last two fit together. Why, I asked myself, had a boy confessed to a murder? Why, I queried, had an anonymous woman sent his wife a present? Why, I asked, had the anonymous woman met violent death? At headquarters the next morning, Sergeant Gino Tartaglia had his own approach.
I've been asking myself questions, Danny.
And?
No answer. However, in the matter of the death of Sophie Driscoll, the boys of technical report the following. No fingerprints on the murder weapon.
And?
And to wit, thousands of fingerprints in that hotel room, perhaps going back to 1912.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion, to wit, we have indubitably encountered a riddle as to the death of Sophie Driscoll. Indubitably.
What about the boy, Jimmy Webster? How is he?
I peeked into his cell on the way up here. He sits there. I remarked to myself that he must be in a strange and storm-tossed mood. Indubitably.
You've been improving your vocabulary again, Tartaglia.
Ah, you noticed it, huh, Danny? Every night, Mrs. Tartaglia reads me to sleep with a word from the dictionary. Last night, it was indubitably.
I'm happy for you. What else, Tartaglia?
What else is a morsel which may or may not tweak your thinking bone? To wit, Sophie Driscoll, according to our intelligence, was a real sick girl.
Oh, how?
The moments she wasn't drinking were too few and far between. However, she was trying to get rid of her sickness. She was a patient of a phony who calls himself Doc Rundle. A doc who makes the Bowery his home and his office. The end of my report.
Goodbye, Tartaglia.
You gone someplace, Danny?
Yeah, to Doc Rundle. Rundle? Doc Rundle?
Wait your turn, boy. I'm having a daydream.
Now?
Now I take a little sedative to calm me down. Sick, aren't you, boy? Sick, sick. Well, I'll heal you, kill you, set you on the path of sanitary living, the beautiful life, sans alcohol, sans nightmares, sans sensing.
You can do all that?
Yeah, it's a promise, boy. I can show you testimonials that'll make you want to kiss my feet. Now, the question is, how do you want the cure? I have two methods, equally costly, equally desirable. Mental therapy or electrotherapy? My patients have a choice.
Which one did you use on Sophie Driscoll?
Sophie? Sophie recommended you to me?
Sophie was murdered before she could tell me anything.
I knew she was murdered. It brought great sorrow to all of us, to me especially.
Share it with me, Doctor. Tell me about Sophie.
Oh, give me a good sanitary reason why I should do that.
I'm from the police. Sanitary enough, Doc?
Hmm. You think I murdered Sophie?
She came here often?
Every day. Every day from the day I made her believe I could help her. And then last Tuesday...
What happened last Tuesday?
She had an appointment with me. I'd set aside 2 hours for her alone, from 7 to 9. Sophie didn't keep it.
That upset you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. So much so that I went to her room and beat on her door.
Then what?
She screamed at me. Wouldn't let me in. All my work was wiped out. I knew it. She screamed at me and laughed. I knew she'd been drinking again. And there were men with her, laughing and making her on to renounce me. All my work...
Last Tuesday, huh? A murder was committed that night. Did you know that, Doc? The murder of a deputy sheriff named Ernie Caldwell.
You accuse me of that, too? Ah. You are sick. I could help you.
At some other time, Doc. But you'll be here if I need you, huh, Doc? After that, there was nothing at all. Doc Rundle went into another daydream, and I went through the exit. Back at headquarters, I wrote it all down. Sophie Driscoll had had a party the night of the murder of Ernie Caldwell. A couple of days later, Sophie Driscoll was murdered. Then I drew a line and added it up. Sophie Driscoll was a key, and Sophie Driscoll was dead. There was a cipher missing. And the way it happened was simple enough. The phone rang. Father Garrity of St. Christopher's Church wanted to see me about Sophie Driscoll. Father Garrity?
Yes? Oh, you must be Mr. Clover from the police.
That's right.
This way, please. Through this door. Please be seated.
Thank you.
About Sophie Driscoll, she was rather tall, Mr. Clover. Is that the one? Heavy set with blonde hair?
Yes.
Sophie Driscoll came to me about 2 years ago.
She was in trouble?
No, she came to me with this letter. It's a letter of introduction from Father Westfall. You see, this is sometimes done. A person moves away from home. One parish priest will write a letter of introduction to the priest of a new parish. This is such a letter.
I see.
I assured Miss Driscoll that she would be welcome to our flock, and she attended church quite regularly. For a while. Then it became very infrequent that she attended services. Finally, she stopped coming altogether. I haven't seen her for a year, and I thought perhaps...
Just one thing, Father.
Yes.
Where did Miss Driscoll come from?
Hmm? Oh, come from? Well, why, here it is, right here on the letter. It's postmarked Norcross County.
Nice talk with Father Garrity, Danny.
You're eating again, Tartaglia.
Yeah, Danny. I am eating circus peanuts Mrs. Tartaglia heisted from the Tartaglia children. Have some?
Thanks, I will.
Well, go ahead, help yourself, Danny.
Thank you.
Ain't it awful the way nothing tastes so good as a stolen confession?
Awful.
Yeah. Have a nice talk with the father?
Real nice. The father told me Sophie Driscoll came from Norcross County.
Hey, Danny. You think maybe the father has got a grapevine into the police department?
Huh?
I only mentioned the possibility because this is exactly the morsel of information I was going to bequeath upon you. That Sophie Driscoll did indeed come from Norcross County.
Take your peanuts and get out of here.
Well, before you throw me out again, Danny, there is more to this bit of information than meets the ear.
You don't say.
Yeah, Danny, yeah. It seems that for a series of misdemeanors, this aforementioned Sophie Driscoll was asked to leave the county at a time when the deputy sheriff was by the name of Travis Faulkner, whom heretofore I have not mentioned.
Faulkner?
Yeah, the same Faulkner who even now is in our city. The same who came after Jimmy Webster. The same who... Hey, this being a deputy sheriff, this is pretty steady work, huh, Danny?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sergeant Tartaglia. You've been real assiduous. I had the missing cipher now. It could add up. It could add up to the exoneration of a boy who had confessed to a murder he didn't do. Or it could add up to zero and the boy's execution. Either way, it had to be done. I went to Faulkner's hotel. He was out, they told me. I asked where. They didn't know, they told me, seeing the sights, maybe. Deputy Sheriff Faulkner was crazy about the sights of New York, they told me. So I put out an all-points bulletin. I needed a long talk with Deputy Faulkner. And at 11 at night, the call came from a cabbie. He had driven Faulkner to points of interest. Faulkner liked the one called the Cozy Club in Harlem. Very interesting. Yeah, he should be there now.
I put in a call to the Harlem precinct, had them alert Detective Anderson. I wanted Anderson with me.
You made good time, Lieutenant.
Hi, Anderson.
They tell me you asked for me. Any special reason?
No, I think I'm going to grab a killer. I'd just like to have you along. I might need you.
Any special killer?
Ernie Caldwell's, maybe. Sophie Driscoll's, maybe.
Caldwell, the deputy sheriff from Norcross County? Well, you got a boy who confessed to that, didn't you?
We have, but I like this one better.
Well, it's not always a matter of what you like, Lieutenant.
No, it isn't. But it all adds up so neat, Anderson. Travis Faulkner.
That's who you want?
Yeah. Faulkner came to New York with Caldwell. They were supposed to pick up Jimmy Webster, but they waited.
Well, they got a right to do that.
Yeah, but they called on an old acquaintance. Faulkner told me that.
So?
So the old acquaintance was Sophie Driscoll, also from Norcross County. They had a party for old time's sake. A drunken party, I've been told.
Well, that could happen with old acquaintance.
Yeah, and it could happen that a drunken Faulkner could kill his buddy, pal, because there was a falling out among old acquaintances. And Sophie witnessed the murder. When she learned Jimmy was being held for it, she tried to make it up to him with a little gift for his baby.
So you figured Sophie was killed because she might have got sorry enough to spill the whole business, huh?
Yeah.
But that still doesn't wipe out the boy's confession.
No. He thought his wife killed Caldwell so that Caldwell couldn't take Jimmy away from her. That could wipe it out, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could.
Let's go in, Anderson. There he is, Anderson, over there.
That man at the corner table?
Yeah, come on. Hi, Faulkner.
Well, now, how are you, Clover? Hi, sit down, Clover. Who's your friend?
My name's Anderson, Detective Anderson.
A detective? Now, well, feature it, will you?
Okay, Faulkner, let's get out of here.
You kidding? You suddenly gone simple? My minimum charge ain't up yet.
Things can't wait, Faulkner. You're charged with murder.
Yeah? I am, huh? You've really gone simple, ain't you?
Two murders. Ernie Caldwell and Sophie Driscoll. You ready?
Ready? No, I ain't ready. It ain't murder, killing two like that.
You ain't taking me, Clover.
Watch it, Danny, his gun. Give me that.
I sure will.
Oh. Faulkner, so help me.
You too, Clover. You can have it, too. No. He can't.
I watched Faulkner. There was a kind of fascination in watching a man like Faulkner. The sudden, swift ebb of his life as he crumpled there before me, his eyes closing over the final fact that a bullet from Anderson's gun had done it all. Anderson smiled up at me, ashamed of the hurt in his leg. He said something about, "I was right after all." Broadway's happy now. There's easy laughter, and a hot trumpet skirls its song out into the grinning mob. And a man puts his hand in a trash can. It's the journey you made because you had no choice. The excursion to the end of all the streets in the world. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia. The program was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. The musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Courage.
Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, this is Louise Costa.
Oh, Louise. Say, that's funny. I was thinking of you and Lucky just this morning.
Were you?
Yeah, how are you?
I don't know, Johnny. That's why I called you.
What's the matter, Louise? Something about Lucky?
I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm getting tired of being a detective's wife.
Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like you.
I know, but something's wrong. He's been on a case and he had to go to San Francisco, or at least that's what he told me. I haven't had one word, not even a postcard in a week.
That doesn't sound like Lucky. Maybe he's in trouble.
It's a divorce case, Johnny. Could I talk to you about it? Maybe I'm all wrong, but I'd like to know.
Yeah, sure, Louise. I'll be over in about an hour, if that's all right.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Edmund O'Brien in another adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. The delicious, long-lasting, real mint flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The good, smooth chewing helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Wrigley's Spearmint. Refreshing. Delicious.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to New York Police Department, Attention Homicide Bureau. I in no way expect you to honor this statement, but for the sake of convenience, I'll use my regular report form. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lucky Costa matter. His real name was Frank Costa. I don't know where he'd picked up the Lucky tag, but he'd had it 5 years ago when both of us were on the payroll of one of the big detective agencies. He opened his own office at about the same time I went into insurance. I got to know him and his wife well, but not intimately, and I liked them both. So when she phoned with worry in her voice, I went over to see her. In a way, I wish I hadn't.
Now that you're here, I feel kind of silly and embarrassed.
Well, you don't have to talk about anything you don't want to, Louise. Why don't we go to dinner and a movie and forget the detective racket for a while?
Well, that doesn't work. I've tried it. Johnny, it's not only this week that I haven't heard from you. Lucky's changed.
How?
It's nothing I can explain to you. If you'd seen him every day, you probably wouldn't have noticed anything, but something that a wife could see. The thing with his eyes when he didn't know I was looking at him. Sort of a far away, as if he was thinking of something that I didn't have any business knowing about. You know Lucky's never been like that.
Well, I guess any man keeps secrets when it's his job to.
Lucky never has with me. He didn't need to. As far as his job went, he's always told me that it did him good to come home and talk things over with me. Even things he really wasn't supposed to talk about. It hasn't been that.
You think he's mixed up with another woman, don't you?
It started over a month ago, Johnny. I've been used to Lucky being away, you know that.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to be.
But like I said, I knew when things got different, when... Well, when it was more than just being away from me.
You sure you aren't imagining things?
I'm not imagining that I haven't heard from him in all this time. That never happened before.
How long has this been going on, this change you speak of?
I've tried to remember exactly when I first noticed it. I think it was one night about a month ago. I asked him what he was thinking about, and he sort of came to and said something that I don't remember now.
Did you press it any further?
A couple of times, and then I didn't anymore. Because it made me think he was hiding something from me. I didn't want to think that. I kept telling myself that everything was all right. But now I know it wasn't.
Was he on a case a month ago?
He was tracing some phonies. It doesn't have anything to do with work, Johnny. I know that. He'd traced phonies before. He'd done everything before. It wasn't work.
Well, I don't have a wife's viewpoint, but I know Lucky pretty well. Some things about him I know better than you do. It seems to me that if he was going to go wrong with a woman, he'd have done it a long time ago. We met some, you know.
Yeah, I've heard.
Does his brother still live here in town?
Yes, but I haven't phoned him.
Same address on Broad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Are you going to see him?
Yeah, I thought I might. You want me to check on Lucky, don't you?
I don't know what I want. Yes, I want to find out.
Well, all right. I think his brother is the best place to start. The last time I'd been at the Broad Street address had been for the funeral of the Costas' mother. The house was a few years more beat up than it had been. Some old chicken coop stood empty in the backyard, and Joe, the brother, pulled up in an old car after I'd thumbed the doorbell three or four times and had started to leave.
I took the wife and kids over to the park so I could have some peace for an hour or so.
Yeah, I almost missed you. Well,
I'm glad you didn't, Johnny. It's been a long time. How have things been going with you?
Fragile. You?
A guy can make a living. But making it go far enough is another story. Hey, come in the house.
Sure, thanks.
I'm working over at Bricker's now. It's a better spot than the old job. Had one raise already and got another one coming up.
Yeah, that sounds good, Jim.
You still doing the same thing?
Yeah, still following people.
You see much of Lucky anymore?
No, not for 6 months anyway. As a matter of fact, I came here to talk to you about him.
Yeah? What about him?
Well, I wondered if you'd spoken to him before he left for San Francisco last week.
No. I talked to Lucky for the last time, as far as I'm concerned. That was about a month ago.
What's the matter? Thought you two were okay, that you got along all right.
You're a pretty good friend of his, aren't you, Johnny?
Well, you know how it was. He and I just fell together when we were with the agency. Yeah, we're good friends. Maybe I see him only twice a year, but he's almost the only guy I've held on to.
Did he ever tell you about his first wife?
He was married before?
Yeah. Did he ever tell you about the year and six he spent in prison?
Joe, are you serious?
Yeah. That's the way Lucky is. He don't let his friends know anything about him that he don't want them to know. He's always been like that. There's always been two sides to Joe. One that you know about and one that you don't.
What about this prison term?
It was grand theft. It was over this girl that he married, his first wife. He stole some furs for her.
How long ago?
12, 15 years, I guess. Well, we're still living in Brooklyn. Lucky was a wild kid when he was 18 or so, and he still got some of it in him.
Who is this woman he married?
Her name was Hazel Mackey, and she called me about getting in touch with Lucky.
Oh? When?
That was about a month ago. That's when him and me had our showdown. I told him he was a dumb cluck if he saw Hazel again. I said, you got a new life now. You're amounting to something. You're married to a nice kid. But I could tell I wasn't getting to him. He was going to see her. I knew that. So I told him if he did, it was the end of him and me, brother or no brother.
You're sure he saw her?
Well, before he left that he would. She had some kind of a hold on him back when they were married. And she still got it. What do you want with Lucky, Johnny?
Louise called me. She hasn't heard from him in a week, and she wants to know what goes. He's dropped out of sight.
Sure he has. I knew he would.
Where can I find this Hazel?
New York. She's got an apartment on 82nd.
You got the number?
Yeah. Come on in the other room. I'll get it for you.
Hazel Mackey?
Yeah. Who are you?
My name is Dollar. I'm a friend of Lucky Costa's.
Oh, come on in.
Thanks. You know where Lucky is?
Not at the moment, no. Who are you?
I told you, he's been missing for a week. His family is worried. I'm looking for him.
He's on a case.
Is he working for you?
Yes.
What kind of a case?
I don't know that it's any of your business. I need a detective, so I hired him. Is that all right?
It would be if he were on the up and up about it, but he isn't. As far as his wife knows, he's in San Francisco on a divorce case.
I can't help what he tells his wife. How did you get here?
His brother told me about you.
I guess his wife doesn't know. I guess that's why he told her he was going to San Francisco.
Do you know where I can reach him?
No, not for a while.
Do you think I ought to send his wife to the police?
I don't see why you should.
I will if I don't find out about the case he's on.
Hey, what's with this pressure stuff?
What's the case?
I needed a bodyguard.
What for?
I was engaged to a guy who was sent to prison. He was there 2 years, and I changed my mind about him. He's out now, and I'm afraid of him.
Who is he?
You know I don't like you. You got a lot of nerve. None of this is any of your business.
I wish you were right, but I've already stuck my neck out and made it my business. So if I don't find out these things from you, I'll find them out from someone else.
Yeah, guess you would. His name is George Myers.
What makes you think he's going to cause you any trouble?
Some of the things he told me when I went to visit him. It's hard to talk sense to a man who's been in prison that long. I tried to tell him how I felt, but he'd blow his top and make a lot of threats.
Where is he now?
I don't know. He's been out a week. Lucky's trying to get a line on him.
He hasn't contacted you yet?
No, but he will. And when it's over with and we get things straightened out, then Lucky can go back to his wife. Now, if you approve, I'd just as soon you'd get out of here.
Well, a few things don't figure. You answered the door buzzer not like a dame that's afraid of someone coming, but I suppose you're right. It's Lucky's business, how he earns his money.
I'll tell him you dropped in.
It's up to you. Good night.
So long.
I put off telling his wife for 2 days because I didn't know how and because I didn't think it was up to me to tell her things she never knew about her husband. But on the third morning, it broke. The story made page one, part two of all the New York dailies. The body of ex-convict George Myers had been found the night before. He'd been shot to death by what they called an unknown assailant. I phoned the brother, Joe Costa, and met him outside Bricker's during his lunch hour.
Hi, Johnny. What's up?
Well, maybe the local papers didn't carry it here. This one.
What about it? Who's this Myers?
Friend of Hazel Mackey's. She told me she hired Lucky to bodyguard her against this Myers.
Holy. You mean Lucky killed him?
I don't know, Joe. But it looks bad. Here, read this last paragraph. Myers went to prison on a robbery rap, but the money was never recovered. There's $200,000 floating around, Joe. I can't help wondering if this Mackey woman hadn't her finger on it.
Why do you have to tell me this, Johnny?
Because I couldn't carry it myself. I talked to Hazel. What she told me puts the finger on Lucky. I wanted you to know because I'm going to have to go to the police with it.
This is going to kill Louise. You know that.
What can I do, Joe?
Well, it seems to me you could stop playing hero.
Now, wait, Joe.
You don't have to run to the police. If Lucky did it, let them find out. You don't have to tell
them.
Not for that no-good Lucky, but
Joe,
for Louise.
Joe, listen to me. If they get to Hazel Mackey and she tells them about talking to me, then what happens? Then I'm in trouble. I can't afford that, Joe. I've got to stay clean with the police.
Sure, stay clean, no matter what it does to Louise. That's the way it is, then.
I didn't ask to get mixed up in it. I didn't tell Louise what I found out about him, but it's out of hand now, Joe, and there's nothing I can do.
Go ahead, then. Go ahead. Maybe some nice fat cop will pat you on the back.
Joe! Joe! It's a sour racket.
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. When your mouth feels dry, when you're warm or tired, Wrigley's Spearmint is really refreshing. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you feel your best and do your best. So for chewing enjoyment plus pleasant refreshment, chew delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And now with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we bring you the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
I left Hartford for New York on the 110 that afternoon. When I got there, the later editions reported the usual rounding up of known criminals who were being grilled about the Myers shooting. And the closer I got to the apartment on 82nd Street, the rottener the whole thing looked to me.
Who is... Oh.
Come on, open up.
Hi. What do you want?
Where is he now?
Lucky? I don't know. I told him to give himself up, but he wouldn't.
Did he kill George Myers?
Yes, the stupid idiot.
How did it happen?
Lucky had a room over at the Montclair, and George must have followed me over there.
You went across town so you could be with your bodyguard?
Yes.
And the man you were afraid of followed you?
Yes.
You were either not very bright or not very scared. Go ahead.
Well, about 2 o'clock we came out, and George was waiting in the lobby. He followed us out on the street and started swearing at us. He took a swing at me, and then Lucky tried to stop him. He pulled a gun out of his pocket, and that's when Lucky shot him.
That all sounds very neat.
What do you mean?
Sit down. I've got a theory that I'll try out on you. When I get close, tell me. The $200,000 that never showed up after George Myers' arrest. For a split of that, Lucky agreed to kill him.
You're crazy.
You hire a detective as a bodyguard. Theoretically, he could kill this man you were afraid of and ride out of it on his license and the self-defense plea.
It was self-defense. George pulled a gun.
The police didn't find it. If it was self-defense, why didn't Lucky report it like he should have?
I wanted him to. We came back here and I begged him to phone the police.
What about the $200,000?
I don't know anything about it.
You mean it'll be hard to prove that you do?
I said I don't know.
I take it you haven't phoned the police.
No. I know I should, but I just can't do it to Lucky.
You know I'm going to call them, don't you?
I thought you said you were his friend.
Not that good a friend.
What can they do to me?
Hold you as a material witness while I try to get some proof together that you dragged Lucky into this.
Dragged him into it? I hired him. I told you that. I was afraid of George, and I hired him.
And he killed Myers in line of duty and in self-defense. Why didn't he turn himself in?
I don't know. I wanted him to.
You must have given some reason for not doing it. What did he say?
Well, he said that everything was all ruined now and that he'd rather take a chance on getting away.
Why was it ruined if he killed in self-defense? I've had to do it.
I don't know.
Were you going to help him get away?
We didn't talk about that. He was like a crazy man, pacing the floor. And then he left about 3:30.
Where was he going?
He didn't say.
Was he going to get in touch with you?
Yes. He said he'd try to call.
Well, he won't be here to take the call. I want the police to hear your story. The officer who answered my call was Lieutenant Carl Belder. Two uniformed men who were with him took Hazel Mackey back to headquarters, and he listened to my theory. We searched the apartment without finding proof of her holding any amount like $200,000. She had a small savings account, a small checking account, and a stub showed that she had paid Lucky Costa a week in advance. We waited the rest of the afternoon for Lucky to call, and he finally did an hour or so after dark.
Go ahead, Dollar. That might be him.
Johnny Dollar?
Who?
This Lucky? This is Johnny Dollar. Don't hang up, Lucky.
Why should I hang up? Hiya, Johnny.
I'm all right, Lucky. How are you?
Fine, fine.
Yeah, I can imagine. What was the matter with you?
I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. How about you explaining yourself? What are you doing in my girl's apartment?
She's not lonesome. She's down visiting New York's finest. Why don't you use your head and come on in, Lucky?
You kidding? I like it where I am.
You still figuring on trying to run out?
Sure, it's worth a chance, don't you think, Johnny?
If you killed Myers in self-defense, why don't you play it that way?
You haven't us called Trace, Johnny?
I hope we wouldn't have to play games like that. I thought if I could talk to you, you'd come to your senses. Can I meet you someplace where we can talk it over?
No, thanks. You're a good guy, Johnny, but I think you might sell me out.
You've already been sold out. What's the matter with you?
You know, if positions were reversed, I'd give you a hand.
I wouldn't ask you to. Anybody gets himself in a mess like you're in shouldn't expect help. Now use your head, Lucky. Let's get this over with.
Sure. Sure, I'll meet you in Times Square. New Year's Eve, Johnny.
Lucky? He's gone.
You know him better than I do, but don't you think you pressed him a little too hard? Wouldn't he have believed you if you talked like you were going to help him?
No, he knows me better than that.
Well, it's a tough spot, Dollar. An old friend like that.
Well, he's still in New York. He won't get out now, will he?
Well, everything should be covered by now. Do you know him well enough to guess what he'll try?
I don't think so, because a killer isn't the guy I knew. His clothes are still in the hotel room. I don't think he'll try for them now. He's got about $200 in his pocket. I don't have any idea what he'll try, Lieutenant. I guess all we can do is wait. An officer was posted at the apartment. Lieutenant Belder and I went down to headquarters. Under steady questioning, Hazel Mackey held to her story that she knew nothing about any $200,000, that she'd been afraid of George Myers, that she'd hired a detective in good faith to protect her, and that after Myers had been killed, she had pleaded with Costa to give himself up. It seemed apparent to me then, after having talked with him, that she had her statement well rehearsed and felt that if she stuck to it, there was no way for us to prove anything else. I stayed in New York that night and the next, waiting for something to break. When it came from Hartford. Joe Costa wanted to see me as soon as possible.
Johnny?
Yeah, Joe.
Come on in.
I got here as fast as I could. How's Louise?
Not very good. Sit down. I'm sorry about blowing up the other day,
Johnny. All right. I didn't blame you. It was a bad time for both of us.
You're right, Johnny. All I could think of then was, he's my brother. But now it don't make any difference. He's no better than a rat that you got to trap. There's nothing to do but stop him.
You're right, Joe.
I had to quit my job over him. I couldn't take it the way the boys were looking at me. They wouldn't talk to me.
It'll smooth over. What do you want to talk to me about, Joe? Has he contacted you?
Yeah, he phoned me. He wants for me to give him some money so he can get away.
He needs more than money now. He'll never get out. What'd you tell him?
Well, I told him I didn't have any to give him. And that was the time I knew for sure that you were right about him. So when he asked me again, I told him I'd see what I could do about raising some. I told him to call back tonight. I did that so I could sell him out to you.
It was the right thing to do, no matter what you think. He wouldn't think twice about pulling you into this mess, Joe. And that's what he did. He asked you to be a party to the killing.
Yeah, I know that.
When is he going to call?
Sometime after 7 o'clock.
Does he want you to meet him?
Yeah, that's right. With $200. He's going to tell me where when he calls.
He's still in New York, isn't he?
Yeah, in Manhattan.
You want me to talk to him?
Yeah, if he gives himself up, I kind of figure they might take it easier on him.
It could be. That's a deal, Joe. I'll talk to him. I'd like to see him go in by himself.
Well, you want a glass of wine while we wait, Johnny?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
This is some new stuff for my wife's folks. I took her and the kids up to their house to stay till this blows over. You'd think we were all criminals the way people treat us in this town.
The call came in about 8:30. The meeting place was a flat near the Bowery. The time was about 10 the following night. I was there at 5 minutes after. Hi, Lucky.
What's this?
Let me in. Nice place you got. You like it better than a home with a wife?
Shut up. Joe sold me out, huh?
He gave you a break. He didn't call the police.
Did he send me some money?
No. Do you think you had any right to ask him to?
I need some dough, Johnny. I'm running short.
What about your girlfriend?
You can shut up about that, too.
A double cross, Lucky, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, double cross. A real good one. But I got no beef coming.
You gonna let Hazel get away with it?
It's not worth a murder rap to square with her. You know who set up the double cross for?
Who?
You did, Johnny. You stumbled into this thing and set it up for her.
Maybe she'll send me a gold watch. I saw her 3 days before you killed him, Lucky. If you knew I stumbled in, why didn't you pull out?
She didn't tell me about you until after I killed him.
Oh, that's the way it went.
Yeah. One little thing Hazel forgot. And she hoped it wasn't important. She hadn't wanted to bother me with it. But a friend of mine acted like he was suspicious of what we were doing. All it did was blow the whole thing sky high. I was going to cop a self-defense plea, but you around sniffing out the premeditation, I didn't have a chance.
That's tough, Lucky. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you.
Get off, will you? I came into this with my eyes open. I know what kind of an operator she was. I'm not beefing. There was a chance to make $100,000, so I took the jump, so I lost.
What now, Lucky?
I was going to ask you. You want a drink?
No, thanks.
Won't drink with me, huh?
Not right now, Lucky.
Afraid I'll slip you, Mickey?
I wouldn't put it past you if I was in your way.
You are in my way. Aren't you, John?
Everybody's in your way now. The whole world. You can't make it, Lucky. You won't get out of town.
How much you got, Sizzle?
Start making sense. You've been on the right side of enough of these things to know you're finished right now.
Oh, I'm not.
I want you to get a shirt and tie on, make yourself look halfway human, and go to headquarters with me. They may give you a break if you give yourself up.
David, quit talking about it.
What are you going to do?
I'm not sure now that Joe's sold me out. I'm in a bad spot, Johnny. I know that. I'm not ready to quit yet.
Joe didn't sell you out. He wanted to give you a chance to give yourself up just like I do. We're still your friends, Lucky. We can't stand by you if you won't do the right thing.
Then I'll go it alone.
When?
What do you mean by that?
What do you think I'm going to do, Lucky? Sit here with you until you get ready to leave?
I sort of hope you would. It'd make it easier if you did.
Well, I can't. I came here to give you a break. I've made my offer. Come with me. Give yourself up.
Oh, I can't do that.
Well, I'm leaving. I'm telling the first cop I see to come and get you. You're going to put a gun on me, Lucky?
Yeah. I can't let you leave.
And you'll have to use it. You want me to come up a coward in front of an old friend like you?
I'm sorry, Johnny. You got nothing to lose. You won't get blamed if I get out of here.
I can't let you, Lucky.
I'm not bluffing.
I'll have to see. I'm leaving. I'll ask you once more to go with me.
Don't try it, Johnny. I'll kill you if you start for the door.
That's your privilege, Lucky, because you're already a killer.
Johnny.
Yeah?
I'm telling you, don't. Johnny, I'm telling you. Johnny, I told you.
Well, darling?
He won't give up, Lieutenant.
Well, we'll take him then.
He's armed and he's drunk. But take it easy on him if you can. He could have killed me, and he didn't. I realize that the confession as set down in this report is worthless as evidence, and as far as proof goes, you are still unable to charge Hazel Mackey for her part of the conspiracy. But after Frank Costa died trying to fight his way out of the flat, I want to suggest that she be picked up again and grilled until she breaks. She's as guilty as he was. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Remember, friends, for refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, real mint flavor in it to cool your mouth, freshen your taste, and sweeten your breath. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, always keep delicious Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum handy. For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, brought to you by Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Gil Dowd with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Edmund O'Brien can now be seen starring in the Paramount Pictures production, Warpath. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Gloria Blondell, Hi Averback, Peter Leeds, and Sidney Miller. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum hope you've enjoyed tonight's story of Johnny Dollar and that you're enjoying delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day. We invite you to join us next week at this same time when, from Hollywood, Edmund O'Brien returns in another adventure of...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Bob Stevenson speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this episode of Case Closed. If you want to hear more from Johnny Dollar, more from Broadway Is My Beat, and a variety of other types of old-time radio, just visit the website at relicradio.com. Find links to everything there, and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Help keep them coming. Thanks very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.